Okay, we're holding on Pesachim Daf Nun. We're going to finish the Perek Shlishi today. Just one last shita in the discussion that we were having about coming back to Yerushalayim and burning the chametz is like this: Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer Zevezek Ishtei Veitzim Velo Del Chametz. So Rabbi Natan had an additional shita, which is that both of them are the size of two kibetza, where you have to go back to Yerushalayim to burn the meat, or whether you have to get rid of the chametz. Talking about two beitza, and the chamim did not agree to such a shita. So we're going into a little bit of a digression here. So it will be on that day that there's not going to be the light of yikarot v'kipaon, right? It's a discussion as to what the light of yikarot and kipaon is referring to, that apparently won't exist. The light of them won't exist in the world to come. Or Yimot Mashiach, rather. Ma Yikarot V'Kipaon. What's that a reference to? Amar Rabbi Elazar Zeh Or Sheyakar B'Olam Hazeh V'Kipui Le'Olam Haba. That's referring to light, which is precious in this world, but has no impact in the next world. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Elu Nigayim V'Alo Sheyakarin B'Olam Hazeh V'Kipui Hein Le'Olam Haba. Right? So that's a reference to Nigayim and Olo, two of the most difficult Masechto in this world. You know, incredibly difficult to understand, but apparently they'll be, really easy to understand in the world to come. And that probably has to, you know, maybe has to do with our sensitivity to the spiritual reality that governs things like Negayim and Ohalot. You know, they're not subject to necessarily to an observable reality as much as other Halachot are, but perhaps in the next world we'll be as sensitive to the spiritual reality of things as we are to the physical reality, perhaps. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Elu bnei Adam shekaren hem b'lam hazeh v'kipuin hen olam haba. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that's a reference to people who are very highly regarded in this world, precious in this world, but will be thought of like nothing in the world to come. Right? Meaning all these false idols in this world that people look up to that have no stature in the world to come. Gather of Yosef braids Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and a related story when Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, chalash v'it nagid. So he became weak and actually went into a coma. Kihadar Amar Le'avua, when he returned and when he woke up, his father asked him, "Maya Chazita, what did you see when you were comatose?" Amar Le, "Olam Afu Charetiu, I saw an upside down world. Elyonim Lamata V'Tachnon Lamala." Right, what is up in this world is down in the in the next world, and what's down in this world is up in the next world. Amar Lo Bani Olam Barura Ita. If that's the case, my son, you have seen a clear world, one where we adequately respect what is deserving of respect, and we adequately look down upon what is deserved to be looked down upon. He says, but what about Talmidei Chachamim? What are we like in the world to come? How are we related to? Right? How we're related in this world with, you know, moderate respect. That's how we're related to the next world with moderate respect as well. Then he goes on to tell over more about what he saw, about what he saw up there. V'shamati shehayu omrim. Shehayu omrim. Ashrei mi sheba lechan v'talmudu biyado. You know, fortunate is someone who comes with his learning in hand. V'shamati shehayu omrim harugei malchut in adam yechol amud b'chitzat. That's a part of that didn't make it into the song. I also heard that those who were killed, executed by the non-Jewish governments, no one is able to enter into their level in Olam Haba. They're in a completely different area altogether because of their greatness. Uman nihu, who's this a reference to? The Haruge Malchut. Ilam Rabbi Kiva Chaveru, Mishum Haruge Malchut Vetulo. If you want to say there's a reference to Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues, who died when they taught Torah against the wishes of the government, right? That's why they had such a great schar, because they were killed by the government. Not, I don't know, the fact that they led their lives as massive, you know, tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim. Ela haruge lud. Rather, it's a reference to the haruge lud, the instance where the daughter of a certain leader had died or been killed. The Jews, of course, were blamed. And we were given the option of coming forward and admitting who killed them, or there'd be like a massive pogrom against us. And so two people stepped forward and said it was us. You know, they falsely said it was us, and they were killed, and they have a chelek in Olam Haba that no one can touch. But Yomahu ye al metzilot hasus kodesh l'Hashem. On that day, the metzilot of the horse will be kodesh to Kodesh Baruch Hu. My metzilot hasus, what does that mean? The metzilot of the horse that are going to be kodesh. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Atira Kodesh Baruch Hu lo'osif al Yerushalayim ad shasus ratz u'metzil. Right? So in the future, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to add on to the size of Yerushalayim. How much? So such that basically the distance that a horse can run between dawn and chatzot, because we're talking about the metzil, the shadow, underneath the horse, when the shadow is underneath the horse, is when the sun is directly above head, in which case that's the middle of the day. So from the time that a horse can run into the middle of the day, that's going to be the distance of Yerushalayim. A horse can be able to, you know, run Yerushalayim at full speed in about half the day. And the fact that we were just dealing with how far out of Yerushalayim you are when you have to go back, and when you have to go back and burn the basar, that's what prompted this story, was to say that that we're talking about the size of Yerushalayim, and in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to expand the size of Yerushalayim. That is the relative relevance of this pasuk. But we continue. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Kol Metzilot Shtolin Sus Beid Einav Yeh Kadosh Hashem. All the bells that you generally hang on the horse, in between its eyes, right, are going to be Kodesh Hashem. Basically, everyone's going to consecrate so much of their property to the Beit HaMikdash. That's what it's referenced to. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Bizash Bozin Yisrael, Ad Shash Asus Rat Umbeitzil, Yeh Kodesh Hashem. Right, basically, all, anything that Israel, any spoils that Israel takes, in the beginning of the day, from the other nations of the world, that's going to make a Kodesh to Hashem. That's going to be consecrated to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bishlam Elaman Amar, Kol Bizash Bozin Yisrael, I understand the shita that suggests just that, which is that that all these spoils will be given to the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash will have a tremendous amount of contributions, because of this other pasuk, which indicates that that basically all vessels in the Beit HaMikdash will be made of gold. Even the pots in the Beit HaMikdash will be like the bowls before the Mizbeach. The bowls before the Mizbeach are, need to be gold. And what we're saying is all the Kehillim are going to be gold because there's just so many contributions. It's going to be tremendous. However, according to the other two interpretations of this pasuk, right, what is it a reference to when it refers to all the golden vessels and all the precious vessels that are going to be in the Beit HaMikdash? If we're not talking about Klal Yisrael giving all these contributions to the Beit HaMikdash, Milta Achrit Kamar, really the pasuk is teaching us something else, which is to meet Atrei Yisrael umit Nadve Umaiti, right? That all of Klal Yisrael is going to become very wealthy, and they're going to be very willing and generous and donating to the Beit HaMikdash, and that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, that there'll be a lot of wealth in Klal Yisrael. Bishlam Amar Biza Haim Lichtiv Vlo Yeh Chena'ani Od Beit Hashem Tzvakot. Right, so I understand, according to the ones who say that we're talking about all the donations going to the Beit HaMikdash, and that's what is meant when it said that there's not going to be any merchants in Beit Hashem. Right, what are the merchants? The Kananis are referring to non-Jewish merchants. We had to engage in business with them because we really didn't have the means to bring everything that we needed to do the Beit HaMikdash. But once we have the means, we don't have to be engaged in business deals with non-Jews anymore to bring things to the Beit HaMikdash. We can bring from our own possessions to the Beit HaMikdash. El man damar hanach tarte, my lo yechanani, amar rabbi yirmiya, ein kan ani. Right, so the other two shitas, what exactly is this pasuk of lo yechanani referring to? And it's referring to lo yechan ani. Right, that there will be no poor people left in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, that everyone in the time of the Beit HaMikdash will be able to support themselves. How do you know that Kanani is a reference to a merchant? Right, how did you get there? Vayar sham Yehuda bat ish Kanani, as it says in Bereishit, that Yehuda saw the daughter of a Kanani person, and that's who Yehuda married. My Kanani, ilem Kanani mamash, efshar va Avram v'izir et Yitzchak, by Yitzchak v'izir et Yaakov. It could be that something that Avram came and warned Yitzchak against, and then Yitzchak came and warned Yaakov against, that Yehuda would go and marry a Kanani when his great grandfather warned his grandfather, warned his father not to do so. Ela Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish ben Gavra Tagra. Rather, it says Reish Lakish that he was the descendant of a merchant. Dichliv Kanan biyado meozne mirma, and a reference that Reish Lakish supports for this understanding is that the merchant comes with misleading scales, with like scales that are off in weight, so that he can get more money for less goods. So that's a reference to, you know, it's a Kanani apparently coming in with a scale to rip people off, which is, you know, something a merchant does. So that Kanani, we understand, is a reference to a merchant. Asher sochrea sarim vivayt ema mehacha, or you could say, you can learn from here, asher sochareha sarim kenaanea nichbade aretz. Right, the traders were officers were important officers, and the merchants were the in the elite status of the land. Right, continuing with the interpretation of that pasuk, on that day Hashem will be king of Erev, and Hashem will be one, and his name will be one. So right now he's not considered one. Right? On that day, Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to be one, but you know now he's more than one. How do you understand that? Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Lo. Ke'olam hazeh, olam lo ke'olam hazeh, olam haba. Ha'olam hazeh al b'sarot tovot omer baruch tov ha'meitiv, al b'sarot ra'ot omer baruch da'an emet le'olam haba, kulo hatov v'ha'meitiv. Right? This world is not the same as next world. On this world, we hear good news and we say hatov v'ha'meitiv. We hear bad news and we say baruch da'an emet. Significant in this world that we recognize that everything comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But in our heads, it's good news and it's bad news. There are good things and there are bad things. And so even though we recognize that everything comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in our mind, though, there's still a chiluk, there's still a differentiation between the good and the bad. But in the next world, we appreciate that everything that comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu is fundamentally necessary and therefore fundamentally good. There is no real good and bad. Yes, everything comes from God, but it's all fundamentally good because it's necessary. And that's something that we don't have recognition for in this world, something we have recognition for in the next world. And because we recognize that that Kodesh Baruch Hu is truly unified, truly one, everything comes from him, and it's all for the end, for the same end purpose, that's when we recognize the oneness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whereas right now, we fail to recognize the ultimate oneness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We assume there are good things and there are bad things, and even though it all comes from him, it seems like there's a chiluk in the nature of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ushmo Echad, and his name will be one. My Echad, Atu Ha'idna, Lav Shmo Echadu. Really, his name is going to be one. So right now, his name is not one. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Lo Kulam Hazeh, Lo Alam Ba. This world is not like the next world, where we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is one. Ha'olam Hazeh, Nichtav B'Yud Hey. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name called? Well, it's Yud, and then Hey, and then you have another Rav, and then you have another Hey, right? So that's how his name is written, right? Because if you notice, that's really not how we pronounce his name, right? You see that in the Chumash, and you don't pronounce it that way, and you shouldn't pronounce it that way. V'nikra Ba'alav Dalet. How do you say that? Generally, you say it Be'adnut, right? You say it as Adar Shem. So, so it's written one way, and it's pronounced a different way. Aval Olam Haba, Kulo Echad, Nikra B'Yud. Right? However, in the next world, the name will be pronounced as it is written. So that's why his name is not one, right? Because we read it one way and we pronounce it a different way, so his name isn't one. It's not appropriate to pronounce it as it's read. However, in the next world, that's not going to be the case. We're going to pronounce it as it's read. Sava Rava Lumidrasha Bepiruka Amar Le Hahu Sava Le Alam Ktiv. Right? So Rebbe thought to make a drasha about, or sorry, Rava thought to make a drasha about Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in the in the Beit Midrash. He wanted to give Midrash on the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, right? Apropos to last week's parsha, almost not the only coincidence. Rabbi Avina Rami Ktiv Zeshmi Leolam Zezichri Ledor Vedor. Right, so he said to Rava, you know, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is supposed to be hidden, Le'alem, right? Is to hide it, right? And Rava contrasted that point with that which is written. Zeshmi Leolam, which can be read as Zeshmi Le'alem, this is my name to hide, v'zezichri ledor dor. And this is, however, my memory from generation to generation. So which is it? Are we supposed to hide it? We're supposed to forget about his name? Or are we supposed to remember his name in each and every generation? How do you resolve that contradiction? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo k'shani nichtav ani nikra. Right? I should not be written the same way that I am pronounced. Nichtav ani b'yud hei. So I'm written with a yud hei, and that's it. But you don't mention it. But ani nikra b'alaf dalet. But I'm pronounced b'lashon adnut, and that's what you are mentioning. Right? So that's kind of that's the element that's forgotten. We remember how it's written, but we do not preserve how to pronounce it. In the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what it means, that some of it is going to be forgotten and some of it is going to be remembered. Hadran, Alach, Elu, Ovrin, Mazal Tov, finish Perek Shlishi, right on to Perek Revi'i. Makom Shenagu Laso Melacha Be'arvei Pesachim Ad Chatzot Osin. Right, so this is some of the minhagim that we have approaching Pesach. So in a place where you had the minhag to work Erev Pesach, right, some people refrain from Malacha Erev Pesach, in a place that had the minhag to work, so you do that Malacha, you're allowed to. Makom Shenagu Shelo Lasot Ein Osin. And in a place, you find a place, if you're in a place that has the minhag not to do work Erev Pesach, you do not work. Right? If you find your place, if you're from a place that does work and you're in a place that doesn't work, or vice versa, you have to go by the chumras of both sides. The al yishana adam, right? And you should not deviate from the practice of the place, machloket, because, it incites a conflict, it incites machloket argument in the community when you have different factions, doing different things, right? But that's a little bit difficult because we just saw in the Mishnah that you're supposed to keep the chumras of both sides, right? So if you're keeping the chumras of the sides you came from, then you're doing something differently from the place that you came. So it sparks a fascinating discussion about what you're supposed to preserve and what you're supposed to adapt in a new area with new minhagim. So similarly, someone who brings food from the Shemitah year, Makom Shekalu, Makom Shelo Kalu, from a place where the food in the fields of the Shemitah year have already gone down to a place where they have not gone down. Now, what's the significance of that distinction? Well, there is essentially an instruction to leave the food in the field for the animals to come and consume, right? And you're also allowed to use the food from the field to feed your animals, so long as there is enough food in the field to feed wild animals as well. However, when there's no longer enough food in the field to feed the wild animals, then you can no longer feed your animals with that food either, right? So if you're in a place where the food has already gone down in the fields, right, so they can't feed their animals at home from it, but you take it to a place, you take that food from the place where you didn't have enough food for the wild animals to a place where you do have enough food for the wild animals. So what are you supposed to do? What do you do with that food? Or vice versa. So you have to get rid of it. I mean, you can't use it for your animals. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, says, go and bring the food for yourself. Unclear exactly what that means. The Gemara is going to deal with it. My area, Arve Psachim, Afilu Arve Shavatot, Arve Yom Tovim Nami. The Gemara asks for a question, first question. What are we talking about? A minog not to work on Erev Pesach, right? This, that same minog exists by Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tovim as well. Why are we singling out Pesach as if it were different? The Tanya, we're going to write that with Simon Lachab, Arve Shabbat, Yom Tovim, Minim, Minchal, Amala, and Eru, Simon Bracha. As we thought, that someone who works from someone who works Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, from the time of Mincha and onward, doesn't see a bracha from his work. Right, so there by Shabbat and Yom Tovim in general, it's from Mincha time and later you don't see a Siman Bracha. However, here, this is that we're dealing with is even from Chatzot, right? Not just from the Mincha and afterward, right? Inami, alternatively, consider this. Hatam Siman Bracha hu delo chazi aval shamute lo mishtaminan le hacha shamute na mishtaminan le. Alternatively, you could suggest that Pesach is different in the following way and that warranted it being being taught in a different context, being taught in an isolated fashion or in a Mishnah. There, while you shouldn't be working, you don't see a Siman Bracha from your work at that time, you're not going to be excommunicated as someone who is differentiating from the Tzibur. However, if you work on Erev Pesach, then we're going to excommunicate you for someone who's different, as someone who's separating himself from the Tzibur. Gufa, ha'uzim alacha ve'arve shabbatot ve'arve yom tovim min ha'minchal ha'ma'ala, motzei shabbat, motzei yom tovim, motzei yom kippurim, v'chol makom, sh'esh b'sham nidud aver la'tui ta'anit Tzibur, en ra'asim bracha le'olam. Right? So who are the people who never see a sign of bracha, and never see a blessing from their work? That is people who work from Mincha and onward in Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov and in Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Yom Tov and Motzei Yom Kippur and anything that there is even a slight avera involved, which comes to include also working on a Tanit Tzibur. All these people who work at these times, it's inappropriate to work. They're not going to see a bracha from their work. Tan Rabbanan, Yesh Zariz V'Niskar V'Yesh Zariz V'Nisad Yesh Shef V'Niskar V'Yesh Shef V'Nisad. Right, so four categories. There are people who work hard and get rewarded. There are people who work hard but they lose out. There are people who are idle and they get rewarded. And there are people who are idle and they lose out. Right, so what are those cases? Zariz V'Niskar Da'avid Kule Shabda V'Lo Avid Male Shabda. Someone who is hardworking and he gets rewarded is someone who works all week but doesn't work in Erev Shabbat. So he works hard, he's a hard worker, but he doesn't work in Erev Shabbat and he gets rewarded. Zariz v'nifsa, David kulei shabta, v'ad melei shabta. Right? Someone who works hard and loses out is someone who works all week but also works in Erev Shabbat where he shouldn't be working. Right? And that's someone, he's a hard worker, but he's going to lose out. Shafa v'nizkar, shedilo avid kulei shabta, v'lo avid melei shabata. Right? Someone who works is idle. But he still gets rewarded if someone doesn't work all week, but also doesn't work Erev Shabbat, even though presumably he's not working Erev Shabbat because he doesn't work all week and he's just lazy or not particularly a hardworking person. And you may think that the fact that he's not working on Erev Shabbat is of no consequence. He's not doing it out of respect for Shabbat. He's doing it because he never works. Still, and we assume that we still give him a reward for not working on Erev Shabbat. Shefa v'nifsad, dilo avid kulei shabda ve'avid male shabda. Right? But someone who is lazy and loses out is someone who doesn't work all week but does work on Erev Shabbat. Amar Rava, Hani Nashi Dilchoza, Afal Gav, Dilo Avdin Avdinatav Male Shabta, Mishum Mifan Kutahu, Daha Kol Yoma Namika Avdan Afiloachi, Shaf Viniskar Karinalu. So there's certain women of Mechoza and they never really worked, right? And even though they didn't really, so even though they didn't work on Shabbat, but they never worked, they're still rewarded because the reason that they were not working was that it didn't work all week long because they were not working types. They're very delicate and not used to working. Still, they're still rewarded for not working in Erev Shabbat. Rava Rami Ktiv, Ki Gadol Ad Shemayim Chastecha, V'Ktiv Ki Gadol Me'al Shemayim Chastecha. So Rava pointed out a certain contradiction that exists between two psukim. Right? One of them says that that Kadosh Baruch Hu's kindness is up to the heavens, and one says the Kadosh Baruch Hu's kindness is beyond the heavens. Kan Bo'osin L'Shema, V'Kan Bo'osin Shelo V'Shema. Where Kadosh Baruch Hu, his kindness has limits, right, meaning it's up to the heavens, which is a tremendous amount, but still it's limited, is when you perform his mitzvot not for the, you know, Shelo V'Shema, not for the right intention. However, when you perform his mitzvot L'Shema, then you get schar, then you get Kadosh Baruch Hu's kindness in an unlimited capacity. Can the Rav Yehuda, Dam Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, L'Olam Yaso, Can the Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Dam Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, L'Olam Yisro Gedam Adorah Mitzvot Af Kvish L'Shema, Doch Shel L'Shema Ba L'Shema. That a person should always engage in Torah mitzvot, even if it's not L'Shema, because when you do it L'Shema, if you do it Shel L'Shema, it may come to being L'Shema. Now, this is in a staunch contradiction, opposition to other Gemaras, which say that if you do, like in Brachot that we came across, that if you do mitzvot shelo lishma, it's better that you never created. And we create the distinction here that these that where you're doing something lo lishma because you have a presence. This is Tosfot that says that the presence of the lo lishma intention is motivating you. Right? You have an active wrong intention and motivating you. That's where it's better than you're never created. Right? But if it's not lishma because it just lacks any element of lishma, you're not negatively motivated. But you're also not positively motivated. That's where we say you should do it. However, if you're motivated by negative reasons, we say worse that you do it. Tanu Banan, Amitzape Listar Ishto Verechayim. Someone who is dependent upon the income of, or depends upon his wife doing menial work, or you know, degrading work, or alternatively the work of a mill, right? So he's not going to say siman bracha. Schar ishto matkulta, right? So when we talk about the his wife's earning, talking about his, making his wife go out to a marketplace, offering to rent out a scale. That's a very degrading, and therefore he's not going to see a siman bracha if he's depending on that for his livelihood. Rechaya garta aval avda umizabna ishtabuche mishtabech ba'akra dechtiv sadin asav dimkor. Right, and where you're relying upon the work of a mill is when you go rent out your mill. However, if we're talking about if your wife makes something and sells it, that's actually dafka very praiseworthy. You're very fortunate, as it says, we say in Eish Chayil, right? We say in the last paragraph of Mishlei, sadin asav dimkor. Right, she makes. Cloaks or sheets and sells them. That's apparently very praiseworthy work. Tanu Banan, mistaker bekanim bekankanim, eino roe siman bracha leolam. Someone who makes his livelihood by selling poles for fences or jars, he's not going to see a siman bracha. My time, what's the reason for that? Kevan denafish pachazayu sheltebu ina. Because he's selling so many things, it looks like he has so much, and other people are going to look at you and say, look how much stuff he has, and get all jealous of you, and that starts in Ayin Hara. You don't want to show off all the stuff that you have and have people wishing that you had less. Tanu Banan, Ntagre simta megadle behema daka kotse ilana tovo venoni nenem becheleg yave enrozim bracha leolam maitama the Tau Bei Inche. Right? The following things also don't see a simon bracha, because they have an increased Ayin Hara, which is that someone who raises small animals, someone who cuts down perfectly good trees to use for firewood, and someone who, whenever they're doing a chiluk of things, he always looks at the bigger half and says, oh, I want that half. Right? Those are people who are not going to say some bracha, because that also attracts people's eyes to say, like, well, why do you think you deserve so much? Why do you think you always deserve the better portion? Why are you, you know, wasting so many good trees for your own wood? Basically, whatever causing people to look down upon you and question your actions and your motivations, that's going to introduce an ayin hara, and not going to see as much bracha. Tanu Banan, arba prutot en bem siman bracha. There are four types of coins. They don't get a siman bracha, right? Four incomes. They don't get a siman bracha. Schar kotvin. That is the schar, the income of sofrim. Schar miturgamanin. Right, the income of the Meturgaman. The Meturgaman stand at the head of the Beit Knesset to make sure everyone is hearing the drasha. The Sar Yitomim, so people who profit from in their engagement with the property of orphans. Umeot about midnatiyam. Right, and money income that comes from overseas. I understand why the Sar Meturgamanin from the translator, from the rabbi's translator, why they don't see a siman bracha. It looks like you're working on Shabbos. Right, what's your parnasa? Oh, I stand up on Shabbos and I announce the rabbi's speech. Okay, so you're working on Shabbos. I understand why they don't get a siman bracha. Right, umeot yitomim nami. Similarly, when it comes to the money you make off orphans, is also not going to see it in bracha lavrei mechila nidu, right? Because you're probably taking too much for yourself, since the orphans don't have the capacity to speak up, and since they're young, they're under bar mitzvah, they don't have the capacity to speak up and withhold how much money you want to take from them, right? So you're not going to see a siman bracha because you're probably overpaying yourself already. If you're depending on things that are happening overseas for your livelihood, you know, that's basically miraculous. You have to hope everything goes smoothly, right? So it's understandable why you're not going to see a siman bracha. Schar kotzim in my time, but the schar for the scribes, for sofrim, right? Why don't they see siman bracha? Seemingly, you know, they're involved in such important things, they should see a siman bracha, no? Amar Bishua ben Levi, Esurim ve'arba taniot yashu an shekinetz ha'gedola al kotvei svarim tfilim zuzushalot yitashu sh'ilmalim yitashvin en kotvin. Right, so the Ashkenaz Gedola set 24 fasts for one purpose, and that is that sofrim should not make too much money. Why? Because if they made too much money, then all you have to do is, you know, write one Sefer Torah and you're set for life. We're not going to have any Sefer Torah, so they did not make that much money. That way, you have to work and constantly work. That way, we have enough Kitvei Kodesh. Dan Rabbanan Kotvei Svarim Tulim Zudot Hen Tagren Tagret Tagren V'chol Oskim Melachat Shemayim Latuy Bochrei Tzchelin En Roin Simen Bracha Le'Olam Bein Oskim Neshma Roi. Right. So when it comes to sofrim, a little bit of a different teaching when it comes to sofrim and people who sell in clay kodesh, and people who even sell in the sales of clay kodesh, right? They don't see anyone involved in anyone whose parnasa is rooted in clay kodesh, in kodesh things. They don't see a siman bracha. But if they are, meaning including people who sell tchelet, they don't see a siman bracha. But if they're doing it all lishma, then they'll see a siman bracha. B'nei baishan nahug dilo. Havu azlinen mitzur latzinim malishabta. So another teaching about different practices, different customs, and how we respond to them. So the people of Baishan had the custom not to go not to travel from Tzor to Tzidon on Erev Shabbat. Atu banayhu kamid Rabbi Yochanan. The children came before Rabbi Yochanan. Amarlo avhatin efshar lahu. Anan lo efshar lan. Right, he said it was possible for our fathers to uphold this minhag. It's not possible for us to uphold this minhag because we need the money, right? I mean, they could withhold. They didn't have to work on Friday. We have to work on Friday. We have to work on Yom Shishi in order to keep our livelihood. Amaluk for kibul avatechem alehem shnevar shmabini zavich about tosh karat mecha. Says Enoch and Ami, your fathers were already accepted it upon themselves not to do so, and you have to adhere to that minhag, as we see, Shema Amidi B'Saravicha, Vatzidosh Ratamecha. You have to listen to the to what your fathers have already accepted upon themselves, in which case you cannot travel like they didn't travel. B'nei Chozai, Nage, the Mefarshe Chala Me'orza. So people of Chozai would take a Chala donation to the Kohen from rice. Now, rice is not one of the five grains that requires Chala. It's a debate. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that it is, but we do not treat it that way. La'alacha. So people came and told Rabbi Yosef, you know, that this is the practice of the Chozai, and he says, well, you should go in front of them and explicitly eat all the challah, all the rice, without taking challah in front of them, so they see what they're doing is wrong. But if I challenge Rabbi Yosef Shita, when it comes to things that are in theory mutter, but other people took upon a practice not to do so, to treat them as iser, right? So you can't openly do that in front of them, right? You have to be very careful not to perform this practice in front of them if they treat it if they're acting as though it's iser. Amar lo v'lav mi itmar Allah. Amar Rav Chizda bekutai. Well, wasn't it said about Rav Chizda? Rav Yosef said that's only speaking about kutayim. Right? Why davka kutayim? Mishum de mesarche milta. Because kutayim are very weak in their practice altogether, and we're concerned that if you show them that this thing that they think is usher is really mutter, then they may become confused and come to be matir 100 other things that they shouldn't be doing. They're like, well, if that's mutter, apparently this also must be mutter. They're not going to distinguish between the nuance of what you're doing, which is actually mutter, where they thought that it was usher. They're going to assume, oh, really, this is mutter? So it's all mutter. Hanach inshi nami sarche miltayu. So milta, right? So the people of Chozai should be treated like kutim in the sense that if you show them that this is mutter, they're going to come confused and think that everything is really mutter, even the things that are actually utter. Ella Amar Rav Ashi Chazina. Rav Ashi says as follows: we see lo nichle zar ba'apaihu, right? You shouldn't eat in front of them. Dilma mishtacha torat chala minayhu. I ruban orez achli. If the majority of them eat bread made of rice, lo nechle zar ba'apaihu. So you shouldn't do that in front of them. Dilma mishtacha torat chala minayhu. Because if they generally only eat rice bread, and you eat the challah of the rice bread in front of them, then they may come to forget about the laws of challah altogether, because they normally eat rice and you don't take challah from it. So even if they end up eating wheat, you don't take challah from it. However, if Muslims eat grain and not rice, right? So the rice is in the minority. Right? Then you should davka go and eat rice challah in front of them. That way, you prevent them from a different mistake being made, which is if you think that rice challah is chayav, then you may think, well, I have this wheat and I have this rice, and I have to take challah from both of them, so I'm going to take it all from the rice challah, or all from the wheat challah, that way, or all from the rice grain, or all from the wheat bread, which is taking from things that you don't have to take challah for, onto the things you do have to take challah for, or vice versa. And we're very concerned they're going to make this mistake, even though one of them is chayav and one of them is not chayav. So you're not allowed to separate from one to the other, right? So you have to davka go and show them they're doing something wrong, because even though they're keeping this additional isser, it can come to lead them to make a mistake in another area.